Welcome to Package, the official podcast of the Liquor Stores Association of Western Australia. Your host today, Peter Kapsanis.
Hello, thanks for your company. Welcome to the final edition of Package, the official podcast of the Liquor Stores Association of Western Australia. I'm joined by two very special guests, Lou Spagnolo, Chair of the Liquor Stores Association of WA, and accompanied in the studio right now, Peter Peck, the CEO of the LSAWA. Gentlemen, welcome to the final word for 2020. Good to have your company.
Thanks very much, Peter. It's good to be here.
It is always a pleasure to be with you, Peter Kapsanis.
Now, 2020, what a year it's been. We've had COVID and more COVID restrictions, the banned drinkers register, wine tastings, Zoom tastings. We've uncovered a new tier of membership, two new tier of memberships, wine producers and distillers, the CDS, the Container Deposit Scheme, the Sundowner at the Perth Flying Squadron Yacht Club. It's been a busy, busy year. Lou, from a liquor retailer perspective, when you cast your mind back to late February, early March, when this thing called COVID was becoming more and more real, what was going through your mind?
Initially, Peter, it was quite scary. There was the possibility that we would have to close down and not trade. So that would have put a lot of pressure on our small family businesses.
And by end of March, we did in fact face liquor restrictions. Fortunately, our liquor stores did not shut down. We were one of the few, I guess, small businesses, retailers that were still able to operate. Peter Peck, what did that involve, I guess, from the LSA's perspective in terms of trying to keep our doors open, the tills ringing over, and keeping people employed in that very critical and unnerving time?
I'd have to say that was one of the most intense times that I've ever dealt with in a political sense. Conversations, there were a lot of the conversations didn't have the niceties around them anymore. People were wound up like springs and they were just going off left, right and centre. Nobody knew what was going on. They had plans, but the plans had to change constantly. And there we were saying, you got to leave our guys open, versus the two people that had control, which was police and health under the emergency services, state of emergency legislation, saying, you know, no, we don't want them open. Thankfully, we had a sympathetic minister in Paul Papalia who was very much on the side of small business and actually could see that shutting liquor down was only going to complicate things. So we managed to get it where they put us on a restriction. They wanted the restriction to be ongoing. Once again, Paul Papalia stepped up to the mark for us, fought it. We supported him as much as we could, along with other elements within the industry like AHA. And it actually got turned over and the restrictions disappeared sooner than they were supposed to.
So the restrictions were in place for around about four or so weeks. Looking back in retrospect, and obviously the hindsight's a beautiful thing, Lou, do you think those restrictions were necessary in the end?
Probably weren't necessary, but I suppose it was caution that the Commissioner Dawson wanted to put in place just to make sure things didn't go astray. But overall, I think it was probably good for our industry. It really let people focus on the local liquor stores rather than going to the big national stores. So they wouldn't go to the big national stores to get their dozens of bottles of wine. They would go to their local, see their local store and think, gee, this is a good store, the pricing's good, the range is good. So it brought a lot of new people to our stores.
And friendly people in the stores too, like actually getting customer service from somebody that knew what they were talking about, you know, not a 17-year-old guy going through uni and filling the gaps, but people that knew product range. I think that was also one of the good things, wasn't it,
Lawrence? Yes, definitely, yes. And we've held a lot of those customers that did come in during that time. I mean, it did affect some of the wine stores that were some of the independent wine stores. It did have a bit of an impact on those stores, but overall I think it was a benefit to our independent industry.
Well, that's a nice segue when you talk about wine, Lou, because prior to COVID emerging, there was, I guess, an endeavour, an initiative to try and embrace wine producers and distillers as part of the wider packaged liquor industry. Pecky, why don't you tell us about what the idea revolved around, bringing in wine producers, small to medium-sized wine producers and distillers into the LSA fold? What was the purpose behind that?
Just before we get into that, I just want to back up onto the other thing. There was another good thing that came out of the liquor restrictions in the metro area, and that was for the first time people who had stores in Perth were starting to feel what it was like to be a store owner in Pilbara, Kimberley, other areas, Goldfields, where they do get restrictions constantly. So it's sort of like we felt it for 4 or 6 weeks. They feel it year in, year out. Now, going on to the other thing about the wines, the idea was that initially we needed to connect with wine groups purely because as a combined group, our lobbying power is greater. So we had relationships with Wines WA. We have a really great relationship with AHA and other groups that are dealing within our industry, because the idea is when we go to government, when we're all one, we have a larger voice and they listen. Along comes COVID, and we start to see some of the people that we've been talking to about working with struggle, purely because they were reliant on tourist buses coming out of China or Southeast Asia somewhere, and those guys would come in, buy stock, leave. Those buses weren't coming anymore. There were no tourists. So the cellar door sales plummeted. These guys also weren't big organisations, so they didn't have large infrastructure in place for online. And if they did have online infrastructure, most people didn't know it existed. So it doesn't matter how great your website is, if no one knows it's there, it's worthless. On top of that, they didn't have the push in the market to get their stuff into stores, so domestically, to keep the doors open. So those guys were really struggle street, looking off the edge of a cliff that they were going to fall down. Took it to the board and said, these guys need help. We need to bring them in. We need to do something. They're West Australian small businesses like us. And they're part of the fabric of the liquor industry and the tourism industry. So I took it to the board. The board said, okay, well, let's look at bringing them in and seeing what we can do, because obviously we're the natural fit. We're the guys that sell their products. So we need to get them in front of our store guys or in our buying groups. And see if we can get some of their lines in. So we did that. We did our virtual wine tastings, which was fronted by you, and they were really, really good. You know, it actually introduced a lot of West Australian small family wines to a larger market. Mm. We're talking, you know, Liquor Barons, Celebrations, Bottle Mart, Thirsty Camel. All those type of guys were sitting in the room, tasting the wines, listening to the story behind it. And it gave them a connection, and as of this point, I know that some of them have actually been picked up as core range, which means that, let's say if we use Liquor Barons core range, you're looking at nearly 80 stores mm. where you're going to have product in, you know. So getting these small guys as one line in as a core range can be the difference between them being there or disappearing.
Lee Spadagnolo, you own Liquor Barons, Carlisle. How many WA wines would you have roughly compared to, say, international wines? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but
don't shame him, Kappa. Calm down.
No, okay? I know he's got.
This isn't pay negotiations, pal.
I know he's got the Lambrusco special hidden away somewhere on the shelf.
No, we have a lot of big representation of local wines in our stores, and not in my store, but you know, a lot of the stores do have a big representation, and that's part of our selling model, that we do support local, and people want to buy local products.
Mm. If I come into your store, do you have a pretty good idea of what kind of stock and range you've got where? Are you pretty? I know you've got a manager and staff and stuff like that, but are you sort of pretty well in tune into what you've got where?
Morning, Basil.
Of course, yes. You know, I speak with my manager regularly, daily. We have in-depth discussions about stock ranging and all those processes.
And where have you seen the change in like trends come in the last, say, 5-10 years in terms of just drinking in general, beverages in general? What's the trend being leaning towards now, say, let's say 10 years ago?
Well, obviously, wine drinkers have increased dramatically over the last 10 years, leaning towards rosés. Obviously, the craft beer mm-hmm. boom has really taken off in our stores. So the trick is to have a big range of products, craft beers, wines, and RTDs. There's a change in the RTD market as well.
And the principle behind these, getting in the wine producers and the distillers, which we haven't spoken about really as yet, I guess it's an opportunity for our bricks and mortar stores to be an extension to their cellar door. Do you find that more and more people want to come and try local, buy local? They get, I guess, inspired or encouraged by the more capacity of local range in various stores, local stores?
I think so. I think people, West Australians are parochial people, so I think they tend to look for WA products. Quite often they've been to a cellar door, they've tasted something, and they'll come into the store looking for that particular product.
We've had COVID, we had wine producers and distillers and Zoom tastings and quite a bit of coverage in and around that. Then we were gearing towards the banned drinkers register as the year rolled out. A couple of weeks ago now, in the Pilbara, Minister Papaleo was up there in Port Hedland to officially launch the rollout of the banned drinkers register. Pecky, take us through it. What is it? How does it work? And why did we need it? And why did the LSA campaign for the BDR for years and years on end?
Alcohol does play a part in some really great things, some really great times in our lives. But it also, like everything else in the world, plays a part in some of the dark parts. And so for the first time, the industry, the government and everyone have sat down and said, we've got skin in the game. Let's cop it on the chin. Let's look at the dark parts and let's figure out a way that we can help facilitate change. And that's what BDR is about. You can restrict people till the cows come home. But if a person is prone to violence when they become intoxicated and you're running a system of restrictions of one carton of mid-strength and a bottle of wine, as is, was in Broome the other day, they're still going to get tanked on one carton of mid-strength and a bottle of wine, and it's not going to break the cycle. So it's just a pointless exercise. But what you do need to do, and in fact, if you want to do that type of restriction, you need to take it down to probably 3 cans of mid-strength, because then no one's going to get drunk and it'll go away. No, not going to happen. We know that. We've got sly groggers, the whole lot. So the idea with the BDR is that, first of all, we do stop them from consuming the alcohol, but individually, not as a town. So when you come in contact with police or somebody with the authority and you are impinging on someone else's rights while you're intoxicated, then a prohibition order or a barring notice will be placed on you. That means you can't enter a licensed premise to purchase alcohol, or in fact to consume alcohol, but that's another point. So you walk into a Pilbara liquor store, you now have to take photo ID, right? Which is not completely unheard of, because you get a cold and you want to buy pseudoephedrine, you got to show ID before you can buy it, because it's a precursor for methamphetamine. So you go in there, it scans it, it goes up to a secure cloud. It looks for your name. If your name's up there, then all that comes down is a red indicator that the cashier sees, and he says to you, sorry, I can't actually serve you. Here's a pamphlet. You're on the register. If you think you're not on the register or should be on there, then you need to contact these people, so on and so forth. The register, the beautiful thing about the register, though, is it's not about banning people. It's about fixing people. So the register identifies who they are. Then the health department engages with them and says, you know, you might have a problem, let's have a talk, okay? And if you want to get off the register, have a talk and we'll go through some programs, right? And once you come out the other side, you should be fixed, for want of a better word, and you'll come off the register. The idea there is that there's an incentive to get off the register, but we're not just banning people, we're actually trying to fix them. Alcohol, illicit drugs, whatever you want to call it, aren't the problem. The problem is self-worth, self-esteem, things like that. It's a core root. They just use those to mask the pain of every day.
And we should note that it's not just only applicable to people living in the Pilbara, it's people visiting Pilbara, the Port Hedland, your Carrathas, Newman, etc. If you're coming in and out of the region and you walk into a liquor store, you need to show photo ID to buy takeaway alcohol.
Absolutely.
Now, all within that, we had the CDS, the Container Deposit Scheme, which at the time was, it kind of was destined to come in earlier, then it was delayed, then it was brought back and whatnot. So CDS, Container Deposit Scheme, a bit of confusion, Lou Spagnuolo, about how it would work and what impact, if any, would have on the price of your favourite beverage at your local liquor store, particularly around, you know, certain packaged goods, your carton beers, for example. The price of your average carton of beer went up by a couple of bucks, to say the least, but and it was, a job incumbent on liquor stores to get that messaging through as the CDS was kicking into place in early October. What kind of pushback or, I guess, disgruntledness, if I can put it that way, were you receiving, or if any, by your customers as you were preparing them for the implementation of the CDS?
Well, the impact was marginal, a lot less than we expected, actually, and I think this was due to the preparation we did within our stores, letting people know that the increase was coming and the reasons why. But overall, it was marginal.
Okay, all right. So people were fairly comfortable. At the end of the day, there's a good, it's a good cause behind it. It's all about recycling and I guess reducing landfill, etc. So I guess most people are on board. The other good thing is it does create jobs at those CDS container schemes. Peter Peck is putting his hand up, which tells me he wants to say something else because we haven't heard enough of him yet.
I wasn't. It's just that you're now starting to understand that people have got things to say. Good boy, Peter. So first of all, we were actually given a spot on the advisory group for Minister Dawson. So he brought us in to the CDS. He put us on the panel. We were on there for over a year. I think it was a year, feels like a year, talking about recycled trash and, making sure that our guys were also listened to within that conversation. So we actually had a sit at the table. We were able to give our input where it was going to hurt our members, if it was, whether our members wanted to be actually a collection point, a number of different things, and all the regulations around and behind it. So once again, hats off to a government that actually listened to industry.
And then there was November with a sundowner at the Perth Flying Squadron Yacht Club with special guest Mark McGowan. It was a good little party, wasn't it, Lou?
Well, very good, yes. And it was good to have so much representation from the government and Mark McGowan himself. He thoroughly enjoyed himself. Was only meant to stay about an hour and a quarter, so I think he stayed a couple of hours. So that was a great indication to the respect he had for our association and the people in our industry.
Let's hone in on that just a bit more. You've been chair of the LSA for a number of years, more than a decade, and been on the board for even longer than that, be fair to say.
I think he was a founding board member.
Yeah.
Back in 1952. Yeah.
He looks good for 103, yeah.
He cryogenically freezes himself every night and uses moisturiser, people.
I love a moisturiser.
Vitamin E, Lou. Well done. But the role of the LSA, the significance of the LSA, I guess, how would you how would you describe its evolution in the last 10, 15 years? It has seemingly been more engaging with government in more recent years. How crucial and critical has that been for the representation of the members?
Well, very important. I mean, the association with the government is probably the most important thing for our association. So over the last few years, we've been able to engage with the current government very well. Whatever your political preferences are, this government has done more for our industry and small business than any previous government that I've been dealing with.
Do you think that comes down to stakeholder engagement and relationships?
Oh, of course, yes. There's a bit of both, and I think a lot of the ministers are aware of what small businesses are doing. And Papalia has had a small business himself. Mark McGowan has, so they're more in tune with what the small businesses are all about.
So we've called this edition the final word. The final word, Lou Spagnuolo, the big plans for 2021 and even beyond on the back of COVID, BDR, wine producers and distillers, Zoom tasting, CDS. How can we top this year, next year?
Look, there's always some issues, and I think for us, what we've got to make sure is that our industry remains sustainable, There's a few headlines, things we've got to look at, obviously, is the online business, make sure that stays around bricks and mortar, RSA with deliveries. There's a lot more work to be done in all aspects of our industry, and it's evolving all the time. So we've got to keep on top of it and make sure that our businesses are sustainable for a long time in the future.
Pecky, 2021, what challenges lie ahead for you as CEO of the association? What are the Lou's touched on a few items that still need to be, I guess, addressed and confronted, if I would need to put it that way. A state election is just around the corner. So what does that mean for you and your team?
My goal for 2021 is BDR across regional WA to start with. And then if they want, then we start looking at Metro. Because at the end of the day, as soon as we can make sure that we can point to government that we're not the problem, they'll leave us alone and let us keep trading.
Wow, okay, that's quite aspirational. Regional expansion of the BDR. Do you think there'll be take up of that?
I don't know. I really don't, but I'm going to push as hard as I can and just see what comes out of it. So in the new year, I'll probably start heading towards the goldfields, still engaging with the Kimberley, waiting for a decision on a BDR rollout up there. But to me, I think that's the thing that's possibly going to be the game changer for our industry in regards to harm minimisation.
Yeah, if I could just add to that, I think with restrictions, I mean, restrictions have been around for years and years, they haven't really solved the issues. But what I've noticed is restrictions keep creeping down the coast, creeping down closer to the metro area. So if we don't put something in place, you know, we could be restricted out of business, really. So we've got to be very mindful of that. I think BDR is a solution to that.
And that's where the restrictions that we experienced in Perth during COVID actually are beneficial. People in the metro area who own stores now can see there's an appetite from certain people within government departments for restrictions to be everywhere. And our job is to try to make sure that there are no restrictions, there's just responsible service of alcohol. That's what it's all about. So we're not here to change people's lifestyle. If you want to go home and drink a carton of beer watching telly and then maybe falling asleep in front of the TV, that's your right as a tax-paying human being. If you do that but then decide you're going to thump someone in the process, that's not your right. That's out of order, and that's when alcohol becomes a privilege, not a right. And if you abuse it, then you should lose it.
Well said. Peter Peck, Lou Spaniello, great to have you on the show.
Peter Capsanis, a final word. What's yours?
Well,
you've had a very busy year this year, Mr. Capsanis.
Yes, on the family front and whatnot, yes.
So can you fill us in a little bit on the family front?
Well, I've had the birth of my... I think I've said it before. Had the birth of my son in August.
He looks very much like your wife.
Yeah, which is good for him, yes. Yeah. So it's baby number two, and I think I'm done now, to be honest.
Yeah, I said that at baby number two, but I have three.
Yeah. No one's perfect.
No, except my children.
We all make mistakes.
Okay, Lou, we're going to take it outside. If you're saying my son was a mistake, now...
look, before we wrap up, I'd just probably like to say that LSA works with a very small team, and a team of people like yourself, Peter Capsanis, Peter Peck, and, of course, Natalie. And I have to acknowledge the work that you guys have done this year. It's been a very trying year, and the passion and the determination that you approached every issue this year has been fantastic, and I'd like to thank you all for that.
Well, thank you very much, Lou. It's very kind of you to say so. And it's been great to be working with you guys and your team, and I thoroughly enjoy working within this industry. It's great fun, and I've said to Pecky, look, you know, I definitely wouldn't be around here if it wasn't fun, and it's fun. We do what's needed to be done. We kick the goals we need to kick, but we have a good time doing it in the process, and I don't think there are too many workspaces or industries that you can do that. So thanks for the opportunity. Gentlemen, thanks again for your time. We must say goodbye. That's the final word for the official podcast package of the LSA.
Actually, the final word is Peter Capsanis. I'd like to say thank you so much. You are nuclear. You have worked. You have worked
stops,
so... No, I don't stop. And then we'll talk about Basil, your store manager. No, Peter Capsanis, you are nuclear. You have a work ethic that I have not experienced for so long. You are like a dog with a bone.
Well, look, that is a final word. Thank you to everyone, and we'll see you in the new year. Merry Christmas to everyone, and have a great 2021.
And if anybody wants to come down to Lou's store, it's free drinks for everyone.
See you, all guys.
Right, cheerio.
Bye.